I do love Bill Longstreet a lot. If I had one arm, I would love him this much. And then we go all the way back. But it's really good to be here. I don't know. It's a little emotional, and I'll tell you why. Pam and I did the math. It's almost 25 years to the day that we left Fairbluff. And And so a lot of things have changed. I mean, Jan and Stephen have 14 children. I mean, wow. I mean, well, when you see them start moving, they look like they're about 14. And some of your faces, I mean, it's great to see you. And it's good to be here. Pam, we were reflecting as we drove up through the thunderstorms on Friday that, you know, we get a reset when we come to Charlotte. It was 3 years that we were here. And the 3 years were really impactful on my life. And I know I'm going to share with you, but I need like 2 minutes just to say a couple of things. Is that, see, I come from a very strong family, the Hart family. And we have a history. Some of you guys know, you know, and it's a godly history. But we came from a family that was in your business a lot. So, you know, when we made a decision, everybody was kind of involved. And coming to Charlotte gave us our identity as our own family, you know. And so we moved back, and we were able to say as a family, and say, well, let's do this. No, we don't want to do that, you know. And before it was like, what happens if we say no, you know. And life goes on. Life goes on. And so it's good. Our children, you know, we left here with three. We have four. Two boys, two girls, score tied, game over. And they're doing well. I was sharing with Sherry earlier that we had three of them get married almost in the span of 1 year, from June 19th, 2020 to June 24th, 2021. MJ got married first, Freddie second, April 3rd in Houston. And at April's wedding, I made a speech. I said, there's a moratorium on no more marriages in our family for a while, which Abby was a little disappointed, but she'll be okay. She'll be, and they're all doing well. Their spouses, they all love the Lord, and they're in different parts of the world. Freddie and his wife, Chanel, are in Atlanta. They're near us, so every now and then they show up and they walk into our house unannounced, which is not a good thing at times. But MJ and his wife, MJ's a praise team leader, and he's in a leadership development program at Sovereign Grace Church, which is in LaGrange, Georgia. And April lives in Houston, Texas. Her and her husband, Marston, live in Houston, Texas. And so we were all together on vacation in Jamaica about a month ago, and it was fun. It was good. So it's good to be here. It's good to be here. So let's look into God's Word for a few minutes. I want to promote a book that I got at, I went to the Emmaus Iron Sharpen Iron conference in Memorial Day weekend. And the speaker was Dr. Darrell Bach from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he wrote a book called Cultural Intelligence, which is a terrific book. It's an easy read. You know, it's it was late in life that I loved reading. I didn't love reading when I was younger. And so it's a good read. But his focus is we need to make a change as to how we interact with people today. People today, some of them, they don't have the hooks that we used to have years ago as it relates to church and God and what's going on in their life. And so we need to be committed to James 1:19 that says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, many people in our culture today are slow to hear, swift to speak, and quick to anger. And that's kind of the culture we live in. And as believers, we have to make a difference. I was sharing with my good friend Ray Holt, who's here, I'm glad Ray is here, yesterday. I said that, you know, if our purpose was to just get saved, we would pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Amen. And we go to heaven. But that didn't happen. We were left here to be salt and light and to make a difference in this world. And so in the book, Cultural Intelligence, he makes a suggestion that is powerful, and you'll see that Jesus does the same thing, where he says, when we interact with people, we should ask more questions than we then tell people what to do. So it's interesting that, that was kind of marinating in me for the past few months. And our brother George started sharing on the rich young ruler. So I want to just kind of look at him a little bit. Later on, when I speak today, I'm going to look at another question, Peter's confession of faith. And we'll see over and over again in Scripture, you see where Jesus starts a lot of conversations with a question. That's what he does. Now, here is the amazing thing. Does Jesus not know the answer to these questions? So he's asking these questions for a particular reason, isn't he? So let me give you an example, an illustration in my own life. I have a particular gift. Okay, it's not a gift. It might be a problem. Okay, let's not call it a problem. Let's say it's a way that I have. Okay? So I'll illustrate it to you. So I love my job. I really do. I'm an architect by profession, and I can get caught up in my work. And so with everything else going on, every now and then, Pamela will call me. And she will say, this is the question. Are you ready? Are you coming straight home from work today? Now, really, there's just two answers, right? Yes or no. But no, I have a way. So I go, why? Is somebody coming to the house after dinner? Do I need to pick up one of the kids? Is there something at the store I need to go and get? Did something happen, blah, blah, blah? And she'll say, why can't you just say yes or no? And so I'll say yes. Well, since you're coming straight home, could you please stop at the store and pick up? You see, I know that there's a need in the question when you hear the question. And there are needs and questions when people ask them. So the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, you can turn there. This particular account is in three of the Gospels, right? And so let me give you a quick tip that helped me years ago. The Gospels are a beautiful part of Scripture. And it is varying accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, if you remember these abbreviations, it'll help you. KSMG. So Matthew portrays Jesus as king. Mark portrays him as a servant. Luke portrays him in his humanity. And John portrays him in his deity as God. So you remember that KSMG, that kind of helps you as you study the Word of God. And so the account is in three of the Gospels of the rich young ruler, but I like the way Mark does it. Mark has a way where we see a little more about this rich young ruler. And so I'm looking at the clock. So let me read the first beginnings here, where it says in verse 17, and as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to them, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So I'm going to stop there just because of time. And I want us to kind of look at this idea of asking questions. Now, Jesus comes right back in with a question, right? So I was sharing on this recently, and I entitled it, Good God, Good Question, right? So Jesus sees the need. There's the question, the need, and the answer, okay? And Jesus sees the need in his question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, if you want a good study on your own, study the word inherit. There's a whole message in that word inherit. Because you only inherit something from family, right? You only inherit somebody who you're connected with. And when you look in scriptures, the people of God in the Old Testament, they were connected to God. There's this idea. If you look in the very last verse of Daniel, it talks about an inheritance. The children of Israel, many of them didn't get to go into the promised land, right? And so Deuteronomy is those who crossed over the Jordan and went into the promised land. Moses has an opportunity. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. It's not a different law, but it's the second time that Moses says, okay, this is what God requires. This is what God requires. And so you see the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. You see the Ten Commandments reiterated in Deuteronomy 5, right? And so this young man has been brought up under this teaching. This young man, this is what he is focused on his whole life. This young man has been told, if you do this, there will be blessing. If you do this, there will be cursing, right? This is what he's done his whole life. Now, just a side note. None of the scriptures says that he's young, right? None of them says young. But there's a hint. And what's the hint? He ran up to Jesus. See, old guys don't run. We don't run. I told this story recently. I said, you know, my daughter Abby and I, we went to a Braves game, and after the Braves game, there was a concert. And they allowed you to come down on the field near the stage, and it was a Christian artist. And she said, Dad, let's go right up to the front. I said, oh, no. So we're not going to the front. I said, if something happens here and we have to run, I'm toast. You know, it's not going to happen. I said, so I've identified my exit right there, Abby, and we're going to stand here and listen to the music. And so we get a sense that he runs up to Jesus. He has something on his mind. The other thing we see, which is pretty special, is his attitude. Now, whenever a person kneels, that just automatically communicates an attitude, right? When you read this account in the other Gospels, you almost get a sense that he's an arrogant guy. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But I don't think that's what it is. I think Mark paints a different picture. That's why even later on in the passage, you see Jesus looking at him and says, Jesus loved him. I mean, don't miss those two points in his attitude. And so the question that Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And the issue with most people today is Jesus. That's the issue. Is he God? And can you rely on what he says? Is he God? It's a question that he asks that almost everybody in this world has to ask, right? There's a void in people's lives. They have so much. They need something else. And the something else is this void that only Jesus can fill. And so they ask the question, he asked the question, and Jesus says to him, this is only going to make sense if you see me as God. And so Jesus sees the need in his question. And so Jesus ends up giving him an answer. Jesus gives him an answer. He asked him about the commandments, and you know, we could spend time looking at those. And even there are times where people read it and he says, all these I've done from my youth. Now, most of us, when we read it, we go, yeah, right. Yeah, right. But I want to suggest to you that maybe what he's saying is, I've been doing this my whole life. Now, what all the sacrifices and the repentance and everything before Jesus, maybe he lied. And so, you know, made atonement for that. He made atonement for that. And so maybe that's part of his life. All this I've been doing for my whole life. You see, you kind of see a difference there? where he's not arrogant and saying, oh, I've never sinned. I was talking to a young man the other day at our church. Our church has a food pantry, and once a month we have like a kids club. There was a young man there, and he had his seven-year-old son with him. He was 38 years old, and I was just having a conversation with him. And I said, who do you think goes to heaven? And he was like, bad people. I said, murderers, right? Because people kind of always go there. Well, I've never killed anybody. Well, a lot of people haven't killed somebody. Or they go there. So I got to the point with him. I said, what do you think about liars? He goes, so we've all told lies, right? He says, yeah. And so telling a lie, you realize that you need something to redeem you, and that's who Jesus is. And so he goes through this. And so this young man, I believe, is communicating, I've been doing this my whole life. Tell me what else? What do I need to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus goes right to the heart, what he's talking about. Now notice, Jesus doesn't talk about the commandments that say, you know, only one God. You know, no other idols. And so Jesus has figured him out in the conversation. And so he says, get rid of the idols in your life. Get rid of the things that you're close to. And the Bible tells us that he walks away sad. You ever seen an answer in the Bible you didn't like? I'm not looking. You can raise your hand. Yeah, you watch a Family Feud? What do they do on the Family Feud when somebody gives an answer, even if it's horrible? Good answer. Good answer. You know, for years, our daughter-in-law, she never watched the Family Feud until she started coming to our house, and she was like, oh, this show is cool. But we get answers in Scripture. Jesus gives him an answer, and Jesus' answer to him, also the disciples, we're going to look a little bit more at Peter. Peter said, well, wait a minute. Then who can be saved? And Jesus says, you know, what is impossible for man is possible for God. And so the conversation goes there. But the young man has an issue with the answer. And that's our issue when we're evangelizing and we're sharing the gospel with people. They have issues with the answer. Because the answer requires a change in lifestyle. The answer requires a change in focus. The answer requires you to make a difference. Someone was sharing one time, and the guy says, repentance is you have to do a 360 turn. I was like, that math is not good. That puts you right back where you were, you know. But repentance means a lot of changes, right? We Bill and Mars took us to the Billy Graham Library yesterday. Never been. It's wonderful to be there. And you reflect on all the people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham. And yet, after walking down from that seat, after them seeing your hand, after them giving you the books and you're reading and you leave that stadium, you have to change. You have to respond to the call of God that requires you to live a different way. And for some people, that's difficult. Let me say this. For all people, that's difficult. Maybe not for young children who make a decision to follow Jesus, right? But as soon as they leave home, they have to connect. I got saved at 7 years old. My mother led me to the Lord because heard a message, I didn't want to go to hell. And one night beside my bed, my mom prayed with me and I accepted Jesus Christ. I graduated college and I became a total different person. I was like, oh, wait a minute now. There's a world out here with entertainment and fun. And for 2 years, I don't know who I was. And at 22, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And at 22, I recognized there's some changes you got to make. You have to live differently. Your appetite has to change. And I think that's what happened to this young man in an instant. He recognized that to follow God, there's a whole lot of changes to follow Jesus he was going to have to make. That's why it's significant that Jesus says that the word impossible is used. You think about that for a second? What is impossible for men is possible with God. I'm sure many of you have a testimony that when you look back at who you were before Jesus, it's only God who has changed you, right? It's only God who has done that. And so as we reflect this morning, that's my hope, is that we're going to look at three other questions that I want you to take away later on today. And the three questions, we're going to look at Peter's confession of who Jesus was. There are three questions there. One I'm kind of going to add to it. But the first question is, Jesus says to Peter, who do men say that I am? Right? So we're going to explore that question a little bit. And I'm going to ask you the question, what are you talking about in your life? What are you talking about? The second question Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Right? Now, there's a little twist in there that I want you to consider before we get to that message. When Jesus said to them, who do men say that I am? I believe Jesus was suggesting to them, are you talking to people about me? Not did you Google and see what people say, but are you talking to people about me? And then when people talk to you, who are you saying that I am? Right? Who do you say that I am? And so that's the first question. What are you talking about? The second one is, what are you convinced about as it relates to the Bible? Because only when you're convinced does your lifestyle change. Right? And we're going to explore that a little bit. And the last one we'll explore is, what are you thinking about? Jesus challenges Peter. Peter does something. He goes from the head of the class to the corner of the room real quickly. And Jesus says to him, you are mindful of the things of men, not the things of God. So we're going to look at that later. So we're going to ask a lot of questions today. If you want to ask me questions, I'll give you answers. Yes or no? And no, I'll give you answers, and you can do the same. God bless you. Do I close in prayer here, Bill? Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you that when we worship at a Lord's Supper, that he is our only focus. Lord, for many of us, our lives have been changed because we trusted Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that there's no one here today who has never made that decision to trust you as Lord and Savior. Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Give us a hunger for your word. And may we learn to love one another here, because we're going to spend eternity together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.